complaining about the weather until mid-March. So it's just the way it is. All right, hello everyone. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Awakened Happiness Now Global Series. Thank you so much for being here. If you are new to my show, new to my channel, please do subscribe so that you can get notifications for all the live shows coming up. And then you can also watch all of the shows on demand from the previous shows, previous seasons, etc. And it is my deepest wish, desire, and intention to bring forward for you all these wonderful speakers who are sharing their wisdom, their teachings, their experiences, their activations, their guided processes, etc., so that we can all thrive in our lives, right? That's why we're all here. We're wanting to thrive, and we're wanting to raise our vibration frequency for ourselves, the collective, and the planet. So today, my dear friend Hope Fitzgerald is back after a very long time. It's like, I don't know what's been going on. You know, like she was on my first season. That was back in 2013. But I'm sure she was on after that, like the first, second, third kind of thing. But then, you know, stuff happened, right? But she's back with us today, and we're going to be talking about calming the chaos with the infinity wave. And so some of what we're going to discuss today is how the infinity wave helps to navigate great change, like the spiritual evolution that we're having, ascension, etc., in a state of flow. It supports unbuckling from 3D to gain perspective. It opens a channel for direct communication with nature and the unseen worlds. It balances and aligns the body's energy field with love and compassion, and is the cosmic easy button. So all that and more. And of course, depending on how the show goes, Hope is going to be doing some live caller questions, or taking some live caller questions and doing some mini readings, and or if we have time, depending, we'll see, a guided meditation as well. So for those of you who may not know Hope, like I said, she was on our show a long time ago, so she's quite familiar with the Awakened Happiness Now community. But she, since 2010, Hope has been passionately sharing the Infinity Wave, which is a 10th dimensional tool revealed to her in a series of visions to accelerate personal and global spiritual evolution, leading to more joy and freedom, even during tumultuous times, as we are all experiencing. Her recent best-selling book, The Infinity Wave: Mastering the Art of Love, Compassion, and Flow, describes the wave's outstanding arrival and the ensuing lessons it brought. She's conducted workshops on this powerful energy, appeared on various platforms, and thanks to the wave's influence, has developed into a channel for a wide range of etheric masters. So we're going to talk to Hope a little bit more about her story, her journey, and of course, like I said, we'll be taking some live caller questions. So if you are here live with us on Zoom, you can raise your hand or you can type your question in the chat. So please join me in welcoming Hope to the show. All right. So welcome, Hope.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's really nice to be back with you. It's been a long time.
It has been a
And
long time,
as
and
you said, a lot has happened.
yes, exactly, for everybody, actually, right? So Hope, because it's been such a long time since you've been on the show, I was hoping you could take us just like briefly through your journey, right, with healing, with dowsing, with the infinity wave, etc. Just a little bit more about who you are and even how the infinity wave came to be.
Sure, I will try to keep it short and sweet. Basically, I was a lifetime seeker of spiritual essence. I was exploring everything that I could for a very long time, but keeping it on the down low, as we say, keeping it to the side, because during the 70s and 80s and 90s, when I was doing this, people still weren't that open generally where I lived, and so it was kind of, my little private Idaho. Along the way, I learned to do hands-on healing. I lived at the Findhorn community in northern Scotland for a little while. I explored all kinds of philosophies, and the list goes on and on. And then I started a meditation group in the town that where I was living at the time in Western Massachusetts in the Berkshires, and I got into sound. I actually was a singer, a professional singer, and so music and sound has always been a big part of my life. But I got these set of seven crystal bowls, and so I would play them, and we would meditate every week with these beautiful bowls. And I think that really primed me for what happened next, which was in 2010, had a very, very challenging personal year. If I wrote about it, you would say, no, that couldn't even show up in a, you know, some kind of drama. It's just crazy. Anyway, at the end of it, I was so exhausted on all levels that I thought I better get some healing because I don't want to get sick from this toxic story. So I went to the Pacific Northwest to Tom Kenyon's beautiful sound workshops. He did back-to-back weekends, and I was able to do both. And at the end of it, I had worked through step by step by step. I really went in kind of like a warrior. You know, I wanted to clean my inner bowl. I kept seeing it as a big brass bowl, and I just wanted to clean it out and make it shiny again, which entailed removing identity and removing all story. And one by one, the stories would come in and I would work them through, and out they would go, and Tom would be singing. And it was just an amazing experience. When I look back on it now, of course, there are words I could use to describe it. It's a shamanic initiation. I don't know, whatever words you want to use, but it was a tremendous process. And at the end of it, the very last practice, the very last day, I was so grateful for the revelation, the final revelation in that last practice, that in my mind's eye, I went prostrate on the floor. And what sprang from me were the words, "I am a willing vessel. Do with me what you will." Now, those were not words that I would normally say. They just sprang from my deepest core. Of course, I was sitting and my eyes were closed and nobody could see me do this. But for me, it was a huge moment, complete surrender. I went home feeling delightfully empty. And 3 days later, I'm walking across my living room, and there in front of me is this giant, beautiful turquoise wave. And I had a friend with me, thank God, because I have a witness. And there seemed to be this byline with this beautiful wave. And it said, "This wave represents a push of evolution that is coming to the planet. It's going to work around the planet and anchor in at the end of 2011. And if you learn to surf with it or swim with it, you will do better than if you resist." Okay. And the next thing I know, the wave turns on the side. It becomes kind of like a curling letter C. You know, you'd expect a surfer to come right through. And that had a byline too. And it said, "As the water pulls away from the shore to deepen into the seabed to get the energy to create that crust," that's how the physics of it works, "so should you," meaning me, but really it's for all of us, "leave your knowing, your knowledge, you know, all your book learning on the shore. Go to the earth, go through the wisdom keepers of the earth for your information. Mix it with whatever this push was." And then the letter C turned into this standing figure eight made of flowing water. And that hung out in front of my face for a few days. And there was no byline, and I had no idea what it was. And I could walk around and do things. It was kind of like transparent, but I was very aware of it. So finally, I sat down with my dowsing rods because it was a little annoying, honestly. And I said, "What is this?" And to make a long story short, it's a representation of an energy. And it's a way that we can picture something. It's a metaphor, right? And what it is in that watery flow is this 10th dimensional love and compassion. So, to say this means the most purified, the most refined. We don't experience it here on this planet. We can't really touch it. I mean, maybe some adepts can, but it's so pure that when we start to work with this infinity wave, which I'll talk about in a second, we are lifted out of 3D to some degree. We are alleviated of the density. It lightens the field. So anyway, but all I knew was it's a figure eight. It has love and compassion in the water. And by the way, you need to create workshops about this. And I said, But I don't even know what it is. I can't possibly do that. And I you know, I've taught a lot of things. I've been a performer. I've been a director. But like, I can organize. I can teach, and I'm usually pretty buttoned up. But I did not want to teach about spirituality, and I certainly didn't want to teach about something I had no idea what it was, and kind of thought I was going crazy. So, but then they said to me, my little guide team, who I'd been working with for quite a few years through my dowsing rods, they said, but you remember you raised your hand, you said you were a willing vessel. Well, dang it, I forget. Oh, this is how it shows up. Can we do something else? No. Okay. So I was told to create a series of workshops. One full workshop would be 3 weekends, one per month. So I was supposed to start in January 2011. So I had to go and book a room, pay for the room, tell people, offer, say, you got to pay me for this. I didn't even know what I was doing. Pay me just a little bit, you know, just to pay for the room. And then I proceeded to be terrified, because I didn't know how to do what I was supposed to do. And what this did was, especially when I look back on it now, it took me to the edge of the cliff with my toes over the edge. And I was teetering like this. And I realized that the only way forward was to fall. The only way was to enter into a trust relationship with whatever this guide team was, whatever this guidance, whatever these rods were telling me, my dowsing rods were telling me, and whatever this wave thing was. So when you do that, you things get a little interesting, very interesting, because reality starts to shift a lot. And what we call reality starts to get very bendy and very fluid. Anyway, I did the workshops, and what would happen was every week I would sit down with my friend and I would start to douse, and then a strange voice would come through and a practice would just drop out of my mouth. And then the next week, another practice, and the next week, another practice. So I would have 3 practices for the first workshop. And then I hearkened back to my time at Findhorn, and what I had learned there was a version of Teilhard de Chardin's theories of evolution. And I pulled those out from way back when, and I added in the current science and the current places where science and spirituality met. And I sort of lumped everything together so that it made a kind of cohesive story. And then I would do the 3 practices. Now, you might need to know that I was not a channeler. I did not consider myself one. And I didn't really trust channeling, because I knew that the information is always going to come through a very waffled field of the human person. So I knew you could get a nugget or two, but I was on the fence about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, these deep voices are coming out and these practices are coming out, and they have nothing to do with me. So now I had to rearrange my prejudice and accept that something extra weird was going on. Anyway, at the end of the 3 months, so 3 weekends, I looked back, because I was standing aside kind of as a scientist, you know, is this really holding water? Is what the infinity wave is promising is a leap in evolution, and that it's all about our spiritual evolution, and we get this opportunity to start doing it before at the end of the year when whatever this wave of this push of evolution was coming in. Well, I looked back and I realized that all of those 9 original practices were step by step by step taking you on an evolutionary leap. And we, of course, were going through it at that time. I mean, I was going through it just like they were. So it wasn't like I was really truly leading. I was kind of leading, but actually a participant. And at the end of the workshop, the people had, you know, it was not just like feeling lovey-dovey at the end of being together. People who had started out about to be divorced did not get divorced. People who needed jobs got jobs. People who were facing an illness got better. And everybody's faces got more full and more light. It was almost like our faces were back, and then they kind of just pushed forward into our skin. I don't know how else to describe it. Joy, much more joy, up at a 10, and it had sustained itself for the whole 3 months. So now I went, oh, maybe this is an evolutionary leap. And then I've repeated it again, and I repeated it again. So by the end of September, I saw quite a lot of change, and it was lasting change. It had legs. And so I said, okay, this is something. This is something. And anyway, so those original nine practices are what I started to teach all over the place. And Shefali, you know, had me on way back when they were still very fresh. And I was, you know, I think about a year in. One of the interesting things was that in the beginning, when all this happened, I was like, well, first of all, I got to look online for the infinity sign. Be, of course, it's a collective unconscious. You know, it's coming in with other people. I could not find it anywhere. It was not in a logo. It was not in jewelry. It was not in packaging. It was nowhere to be found. And then I also looked up this phrase that came to me when I was pulling the workshop together. I thought, well, talking about evolution, especially then, we're very used to thinking about evolution as something that's happening in the background very, very slowly, you know, and we're just poking along. And then I realized, but what we're talking about now is becoming aware of our evolution. And so I said, well, it's really like conscious evolution, which today you've heard a million times. But back then, I went to Google it. The only person who said anything about conscious evolution was Barbara Marx Hubbard, and it was very different context. So I realized that we were on the forefront of some kind of movement to allow this love and compassion, that the beauty of it is it couldn't be corrupted because it's just a symbol. It's just geometry. It's just water. I say just in quotes because all those things have great potency, but it's not language. You can do it without language. I mean, we're going to talk about it today, but you could teach a three-year-old how to do this in 2 seconds and they'll go, oh, great. You know? So anyway, I looked everywhere for logos. I for the infinity sign. I looked everywhere for conscious evolution, and they just didn't exist. And we got to the end of the year, and sure enough, beginning of January, somebody hands me. I ordered a cappuccino, and somebody handed it to me with a figure eight in the foam. My girlfriend, who had been taking dictation during all these practices, was standing on a street and looked down, and there was the figure eight sprayed on the sidewalk. It started to pop up. It started to pop up. And now, of course, it's ubiquitous. Everybody has it in their logo. People don't know why. People don't know why. What's interesting also is that in the early days, it took those 3 weekends to kind of get this in our systems because it was new. No, the infinity sign's not new. Obviously not, but this use of it and this watery flow of it is new in a sense. It's been in our galaxy, our universe, but it hasn't been distilled down into a form like this, a usable form like this, until it came in. And so I believe nowadays people can get the wave immediately. The egregore of it, the thought field of the wave, the infinity wave, which represents this bigger energetic, is highly available now. And it's so exciting because you don't have to try real hard, you know, like you used to. Anyway, it took me a long time to muster up the courage to write about it. And so I finally did. And subsequent are coming out now that I'm working on now. I'm writing a second book. But anyway, there are so many stories about how the wave shows up and changes people's lives. But I don't want to get into that until I take a breath here and let you get in, Shefali.
Absolutely. No, thank you so much. And it's so wonderful to hear your story. I mean, I don't remember back in 2013 what we talked about, to be honest, okay? But so it's like feels very fresh and new to me. But it's so wonderful to hear your story about what you were experiencing when you were given this, the wave, this modality, this energy, right? And how to work with it. And of course, the biggest piece, of course, is the just trusting it, right? And so many times we don't trust and we just get stuck in our head about should I not? I don't know, what will people think, blah, blah. All these wonderful stories that we have that stops us from actually doing and following the guidance that we are receiving, right? But you followed the guidance, you did the workshop, you know, I'm sure it was quite terrifying, and you followed through with it. And then the following through with it helped not just you with grounding it more and embodying it more and anchoring it here more, but also it helped you in your growth and evolution and the changes that you were also experiencing, right?
Oh my goodness, I can't even begin to count the ways. Because it was just, and to start it out with that empty bowl, with that empty vessel, nature abhors a vacuum, you know, so, but that was a big component of, I think, being able to even venture into this world. Oh my God, I changed so, so very much. First of all, I became aware of my judgments. Because if I'm going to be teaching love and compassion, then I sure as heck better be living love and compassion 24/7. And so I use the wave a lot. I use it on myself. And when we desire truth and we desire to be love and compassion in action, then anything that doesn't resonate with that is going to become very obvious. And so I started to become aware of my judgments, and then I just was maybe like an arrow, you know, oh, there's one, you know, and I just started to just annihilate them as they came. And that set me free to truly love, just about anybody who came across my path. Now, do I do that every single day? I would like to say I do. I'm pretty good, but I'm not perfect. And I'm still evolving and growing, but it tends to be my default, you know, that I'm going to be more compassionate and loving in general. And that's been a beautiful gift. I've also, because it's water, now, water has many properties, and the whole, you know, the whole rabbit hole of going down water with Patrick and yeah. Structured water and all, you know, the Dr. Emoto. And I mean, we can go on and on and on all about that. But the symbolism of water, aside from all the potency of water, is to stay fluid. So it puts us into a state where all of a sudden we're not hard edged. And what we've all gone through in the last 4 years is a great deal of change. And much like that first vision of the wave coming in, saying, don't resist, be fluid. Work with it, flow with it. The water is there to remind us to retain that state, because we're not going to be able to deal with the pretty harsh changes that have come and that are ahead if we are not in a more fluid state. So that was also, now I'm a Pisces, so I'm also already a kind of fluidy person, but it really helped me to up my game in that way. I mean, there are a thousand things that it helped me to do and ways that it opened my field. I am now, you know, as you mentioned in the introduction, you know, I channel on a regular basis. I've been a medium. I've had incredible beings come and visit. And you know, in the category of you can't make this blank blank up, I never cease to be amazed, and I'm just so grateful to be a conduit. So I'm just scratching the surface of the things that I've learned and the ways I've changed.
I love that. And now that potential for change for us is also there. And, you know, one of the key points that you mentioned, which is, I think people need to hear this over and over again, is that when you start doing this work, any type of healing work, energy work, transformational type of work, your stuff comes up, your judgments, your prejudices, your beliefs, your fears, all that stuff comes up. And it's coming up so that you can see it, so that you can be aware of it, so that you can work through it, right? And so sometimes, you know, unfortunately, when we are confronted with something, we go down a rabbit hole and we go into judgment and we go into reaction and we go into resistance, all that stuff. We do that. But then once we settle, right, then we're like, okay, I need to work on this. I need to see what it really is and work through it so that, you know, honestly, it's about getting past it and then being able to flow, right, moving forward. And so I think that's really, really key. And, you know, I'd like to say I'm better at it too, but there are moments when I'm not, and I can tell.
You know,
I'm not.
You know, Shefali, it's so interesting too, because I find that when I'm in a compassionate and loving state with myself, then working through it, as you say, becomes much easier. You know, we are so self-critical.
Yes,
and,
we are.
And that's been another gift from this, is to find, allow this love and compassion, which is infinite, infinite, to bathe myself in that, to put it in my heart, to put it over my whole body, and just feel something that is, it's not personalized like from somebody or some being. No, it just is. And it was intended as a gift to us for the times we're in, to be able to love ourselves, stay fluid, stay adaptive, so that we evolve through these times, you know, not get hung up. We are really being chanced. When we talk about evolution, we're also, as a culture, as a world, really, most people don't know it, but we're all on that cliff edge with our toes hanging over. I mean, we are this year, I strongly feel we are going to have some revelatory announcements and changes that are going to shake people. And if we have this capacity already built in to be in a flow state, we're going to do much, much better than if we don't.
Yeah. All right. You know? Yeah. We need to be in that flow state so that we don't get stuck in resistance, get stuck in rejection, get stuck in reaction, and get stuck in our old past beliefs and patterns as well, right? So, because sometimes those old past beliefs and patterns get triggered and they come up, but if we just allow them to come up and witness them, but stay in the flow, then they'll be able to pass through much more quickly.
I can't agree more. And that's actually one of the very first things that I talked about in the workshops. It became apparent to me because, again, I started getting downloads. I started getting so much guidance. Like, I would just say, just use my mouth, just say, you know, what needs to be said. And it would happen. One of the things that was communicated was that all past beliefs, all relationships, all any attachments or things that were kind of forming our personalities needed to come up on the chopping block. And just one by one say, is this relevant for me now or not? And love it away. Don't chop it away. Love it away. Thank you for your service. And off you go. And that's a very conscious process. That's the kind of thing where you'd say, you know what, I'm going to take Sunday to see if I can rattle through my being and come up with a few things that I am fundamentally, you know, defined by. And just check and see if is that really true still? You know,
yeah,
maybe it'd be better to be untethered from that one. And so I have a little idea about a gentle way of doing that. And that is to imagine that you're holding a whole handful of helium balloons,
mm-hmm.
and put the ideas one by one into a balloon. What that does is it leaves it in the, I don't know. Don't know mind is one of the key things for evolving. To be in a, I don't really know, I'm going to stick it in a balloon. And if my experience as I go through life makes me believe that that really is true, then you can pull that balloon down and put it in your being. Unfortunately, what we tend to do as human beings is, there's a thing. Oh, good. I can label it now. I can now put it in a box and put it on my shelf. And now it's in concrete. This is what this thing is. We do it all the time with mystical events. You know, you go anywhere and there's a temple built on top of the rock where something important happened. It's like, you can't concretize the mystical. It's gonna just be. And you can't hope it comes back and put something around it. It just, you know, that rock is not. Anyway, but we do that with ideas, right? We do that with beliefs. And I say, let's pull all those boxes out. Let's open them up. Let's take the labels off. And let's see what really a handful of things that we can pull down into our beings and say, yes, that is truth for me. You know, so it's a process.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, life is a process. And as we're going through our evolution and expansion, it is a process. It's not just going to be one and done in like a snap of a finger, right?
Right. Although I will say that the wave is here because the old ways of doing things take a lot of time and a lot of effort. And we don't have time anymore.
Yeah, and we don't want to put in a lot of effort anymore either. We've done it. Right?
It's so much simpler than we think. It's so much easier than we think. That's the other thing. Our minds want to make things complicated and hard. The wave has taught me it doesn't have to be that way. You have a belief system about that. Get rid of that. Let's use the wave to say, you know what? I'm going to allow this love and compassion to utterly change me. And I don't know what I'm going to look like at the other end. Isn't that fun? Let's see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
And so many things just drop away as unnecessary, and it works fast.
That's what we want. We want things to work fast, but we, and at the same time, easy, right? Easier than it has been in the past. And the thing is like a lot of times, you know, we get so stuck in a certain situation or in a story or in an identity, right? That we don't even realize that it is limiting us.
Yeah. Oh, right? So true. So true. I mean, that is, and you know, I like that. My experience has been that I don't think there's a big goal at the end of things that's called enlightenment. I don't think that's how it works. I think it's a series of enlightenments. And we just keep doing that in perpetuity, even after we leave this mortal coil. We are always going to be hitting up against a glass wall of a belief, of a limitation. And as soon as we realize it's there, oh my gosh, well, it's going to shatter because we've recognized it. And then we rearrange, all the molecules rearrange when we hit that. And then we think, oh, good, I'm done. No, then you go a little further and you hit another glass wall. So as you're ready to peel the onion rings, right? Hit up against the onion rings, they will present themselves. Freer and freer is what we become. Less and less identified as, whatever the labels are, is how we become. And it's that freedom that is the most beautiful thing of all.
Yeah, wow, amazing. I love it. And I love the simplicity of it. And, I've always been a person that likes to be in the flow and fluid. I'm also Pisces too, so I think that's why, right? And I don't like structure per se. It's like, well, why does it have to be this way? Why can't it be some other way? It's like that's fine. There must be another way of doing things, because a lot of times what we've been doing in the past, it's just not working as well anymore, right? And I was saying this to my inner circle VIP clients yesterday, I think it was. Yeah, yesterday. It's like sometimes we need to make a little tweak to some of our practices, some of our whatever it is that we're doing, because it's not working. It's like if you're still struggling with the same issue for months, years, it's like you got to try something else. There's like something has to shift somewhere. And we get so caught up in, well, I have to do it this way because this is the way I was taught. This is what feels good. This is what feels right. But it's not working. So, it's like being willing to be open to a different way of being, a different way of doing things, a different way of flowing. Because as you said, with the wave, especially, it's all about love and compassion. And so this is about the universe, divine source, et cetera, having love and compassion for you. Your journey, your struggle, your challenge, whatever is going on with you. So there is a lot of love and compassion available for us, but are we willing to receive it?
Oh my gosh, that is such a big piece of it. That's the number one first step is learning how to receive. And most of us, and I found that with myself as well, I was limited in that way, and I had to learn to, it's really the other side of the coin of giving. And when you think about the more you can, I mean, I'm not saying anything brilliant here, but the more you can receive, the more you can give. But receiving requires self-acceptance, right? That warts and all, I am worthy of receiving love and compassion, which is why the wave is just, we're not asking it from the world. We're just letting the love of the wave that's inherent in the wave give us that love and compassion. It's private. It doesn't have to be, it's okay with you, I will accept myself. And then it grows from there and it grows from there. So you said something I was, I want to just mention that along this journey, and I'd love to give an example or two about how the wave has worked. But along the journey, I really don't know how I would have navigated it without having had many, many years of being a dowser. I mean, I found I got my marching orders from my dowsing, and I just followed those orders. So I always encourage people to have some kind of tool. Divination tool. It could be a pendulum. It could be cards. It could be anything. I Ching. I just recently interviewed a lovely couple who have something called the source cards, and those are fascinating. So there are all these different ways to hear from outside of ourselves. If we're in a situation like you just described, where the old way of doing something is not working, we need new information from another perspective, from another level, hopefully from a higher frequency, to lend us a fresh view, and a fresh path. So I could not have done this without that, tell you that.
And to be honest, we all have a lot of tools, right? And so it is about, using our tools regularly, consistently, instead of just going into the drama. It's like, okay, something's going on, let me get my tool and let me work with it and see what's up, right? But a lot of times we just go into reaction, we just go into the story, we just go into the drama, and we go into our emotions, and then we get stuck. And it's like, oh, now I don't know what to do
Yeah.
now.
And I think you know, a lot of it has to do with a sincere desire. Again, I'm going to use the word again, a sincere desire to evolve. When we came, I think we came here to evolve. I think that's the whole point of being here. If we can evolve through the challenges that we have, when we come in with nothing and we leave with nothing but our soul, our spirit, however, they're not exactly the same thing, but for the purposes of our conversation, that's what we get to adjust. And so if we can exit better, wiser, more loving, whatever, more so than when we came in, then good on us. You know, that's the whole bailiwick right there. So when we have a sincere desire to upgrade ourselves, then when situations come along, like what you just described, a sincere desire means that we then take the situation and we want to pick it apart and find the lesson. We won't be satisfied until we find the lesson, because we know that everything that happens to us is for our spiritual evolution. It's all a gift, even the hard things. And believe me, I've had a lot of hard things, as you have too. And I'm sure everybody on this call has, because life isn't, it's built that way. So we need to work with it, right?
Yes, absolutely. So we have a lot of people with their hands raised
Yeah, I see that.
who have questions for us, for you. So, you know, because in the email I said we're going to be taking some live caller questions and or readings. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that was going to be look like, but I thought I would ask you if you want to take some questions and or
Yeah,
readings now.
sure.
And
Absolutely.
any rules about the questions?
Well, if I'm going to use my dowsing rods, if they're dowsing questions, then it's helpful if we don't have too open-ended questions, like, what is my purpose in life? Because I can do that, but it would take a lot of time, more time than we have. So,
Yeah, so please,
simpler.
everybody,
Yes
keep
or
the
no?
questions short. One question, please, because we, you know, if you're looking at the time already, like just one question, and that way we may have time for a meditative process as well, right? So we would like to definitely do that so that we can experience the wave. Is that possible, Hope?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, so that would be, you know, really amazing, I think, for everybody as well. So keep your questions to one, please. All right, Linda, go ahead.
Hi, Hope.
Hi, Linda.
My question is, I have many modalities that I work with. I would like to know if, no, just wait, Alara, it's easier. I just want to know if I should concentrate more on the pendulum or more on the energy healing. I just was being good for you,
Can I,
Alara.
may I, should I? Okay, let's see. Is it in Linda's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to choose between energy healing and her pendulum work,
Dowsing.
dowsing with a pendulum? Is it important for her to choose one over the other? Yeah, it is, actually. So which one would be in her highest good on all four levels to spend more time with? Should it be her dowsing or her energy work? Your energy work.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I
Interesting.
appreciate
Yeah.
that.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Great. I'm glad you did that with the dowsing, because I was going to say to Linda, why do you have to choose?
Well, that's why we asked, is it necessary? But apparently it is.
Okay, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Linda. All right, Kathy. Kathy, you want to unmute yourself?
Hi.
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 I don't know if this is short enough question, but I was just wondering why I can't move forward.
That's too broad.
That's too vague and too
Too
broad.
vague? All right.
I'm happy to do a session with you, but that would take a little time. Do
Okay.
you have another question?
No, I guess not.
Aw, okay.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Good day.
Kathy. If you think of something, type it in the chat, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, Sarah, I see you have your hand raised.
Try not to say hello before I unmute myself. I feel like we have a hope. We have a somewhat similar history. As you told your story, I was thinking, yeah, that's my story too. And I also adopted using the infinity sign with water a while back, and I use it most every day as I cleanse my chakras and my aura. I often use a big infinity sign, and I'm a starseed, and I often send an infinity sign way out to where I came from, wherever that is, and bring it back to where I am. And that always feels so loving.
Yeah.
And just nourishing and just joyous, yeah. Delightful. So
that's it. That's it.
Yeah. So at any rate, yeah, it's all over the place. So I appreciate that the heavens kind of, when they're ready for something, they may give it to three different scientific teams on Earth at once, so that this brilliant discovery is made by three people, or, you know, three teams at the same time. What I would like to ask you just flew in and out of my brain. Oh, yeah. Do I have a block to receiving love?
Well, can I, may I, should I? Okay. Does Sarah have a block to receiving love? Well, I get a 50%. So let me just dial down a little more. Does Sarah have a physical block to receiving love? No. A mental block? Yeah, 50%. An emotional block, 50%. A spiritual block, no. So it's an emotional, mental halfway. There is some blockage. It's not 100%. And what we can ask is that block something that came in Sarah's current incarnation? Yes. So it's not from a previous life somewhere, anywhere, no. So, and we can ask the nature of it, but I don't want to take too much time. But normally when I would work, we would then dive down and try to figure out when did this start, and we would get deeper into it. The other thing is that just, you know, in terms of dowsing, it turns on my intuitive channel. So I start to hear words and see images. So we don't have to just stick with yes and no, but that would require a little more time. So I just.
I'm never without a pendulum. I've at least got a necklace on. Sometimes I use my car keys.
You can use anything.
My earbuds. Thanks. I think it maybe it comes in this lifetime. I was quite beautiful as a younger woman, and I had a lot of unwanted attention, and I also was into abusive relationships. So I'm getting that that's where I shut it down.
That's a yes. That's a yes right there.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Right.
Thank you, Sarah. Good. Tanya?
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hi. Hello.
My question is more domestic. I moved house in the last half a year twice. And it is still like temporary place. So my question is, I really hope I move this year to my final destination, which I can call home, because it's everything like, you know, for me, it is like I'm postponing my life because I know that I will have to move again and I cannot kind of go on with my life, if you understand what I mean.
I do. Let me ask.
Thank you.
Should I work with Tatiana? Yes. Okay. Well, let's back up. I like to back up from all assumption. Okay. Is it in Tatiana's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to move again in 2024? Yes. And does it look likely? We don't fortune tell with dowsing. Does it look likely that her next move, well, let's find out, would it be one more move in 2024? Yes. Okay. So would that next move be likely to be a place where she can call home for a while? Yes. So let's find out when. Would it be in February 2024, March, April, May, June, July, August, September? It looks like September.
Fine with me. Thank you so much. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you, Tanya. But you know what? I just have to say really quickly. So I'm also in, you know, I moved, but this is not my forever home or anything, but I'm still continuing to do stuff.
I'm not waiting. You don't even imagine what I'm living in. I maybe tell you another time.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, you know, you can still...
I don't
still...
have internet in my computer. I don't have my computer doesn't work
okay.
here even.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. All right. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you.
Okay. So Sunita is here. She has her question in the chat. She can't talk on camera because she's not feeling well. She's sick. But she says, I think this is what it says. She says, I want to connect with my intuition and the universe. The last 10 years, it feels like I lose myself and feel less trust. I get in the fear energy and try to get out, but the fear energy makes the fear bigger, I think. I try to focus on the good, but then there comes always tests and I get stuck. What is my lesson what I don't want to see? That's probably a big question, a pretty big, vague and big question. So I'm not sure if that's something you can actually answer.
It would take a little while to dive down into that.
That's not an easy yes or no question. It's not, and it's something that would require a conversation, you know, to ask questions for sure.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm in a session and I know I have half an hour or an hour, I can let myself go and start to get the images and the words. But in this situation, I can't do that. So anyway.
She's asking instead, how can I connect better?
I don't know that I can answer that, because that's not, you know, you could give me some examples of things that you like. And
so it's about connecting with her intuition and the universe.
Well, the wave is good for that. So the wave is like, it does so many things. It's not even funny. We use it to connect, first of all, within oneself, within one's body. It opens the field. It opens the chakras. It opens to the earth. We can use it to communicate with one another, heart to heart. We just run the infinity, you know, from heart to heart. And the water is important here, because remember that you are water. We are all water to a large degree. And when we take 10th dimensional love and compassion in the water, it's going to structure our fields. It structures, we know that thought impacts water. Water is conscious. We know this, it's been proven many, many times. Veda Austin's work now is just phenomenal. I highly recommend, if you don't know her, just look up Veda Austin Photography, VEDA Austin. And it's phenomenal how water responds to thought. So the thought, the imagination, the energy in the infinity wave structures our water. That's why, as Sarah was describing, she's doing the wave. She has a different word for it, but that is exactly what it feels like. You get bathed in, and your whole, all your water goes from being chaotic to in synchrony, you know, to in harmony. And the conversation between you and the other person is going to elevate. You're not going to stay down here in the density. That 10th dimensional is going to lift you up. I'm not going to say where it's going to lift you, but it's going to lift the conversation up. And I can tell you that I have used this when my son was a teenager. And oh boy, that's all I'll say. I would sit there as he was ranting and raving, and I would just broadcast the wave to him. And I'd watch him come down, come down, come down, start to have a chat, start to make some jokes. I mean, it was just like, and it happened fast.
Yeah, Tanya, you need that. she has a teenager as well. So she
Gosh. And it works on animals. I just got a great testimonial from a woman who had a little dog and who was a wonderful companion, not troublesome at all. But when her granddaughter came over, her little toddler granddaughter, the dog went crazy and barked and had, you know, was acting out, nipping and doing all these things. So she used the wave on the dog for the entire day before the grandchild was coming to visit the next day. And there was no problem whatsoever.
Wow. Nice.
I mean, that's just one story. I have a story about horses. It just goes on and on. So this is a way we can send this long distance. We can send a wave to people. We can send a wave to the world. You know, we do it all the time in my groups. And it's magical, really. And if we extend the wave, because it can be any size, and there's no wrong way, no right way, it's just simple, however it appears to you, that's what you do. But you can run the wave over your head and down under your feet and start to communicate with the earth. I went on a whole shamanic journey once I got that message to go to the wisdom keepers of the earth. And you can communicate with the trees, the rocks. You can do all kinds of things with that spiritual realm beneath us. And then you start to open your channel to what's above and around us all the time. So it does the work for us. We don't have to go, I just got to get, you know, I used to, when I was healing, I'd have to get in a certain frame of mind and I had to do blah, blah, and then I would do. No. Just do it. Just become available, become fluid, open the channel, boom, you're done. You know, so I know it seems too good to be true, but
well, we are going to experience
years
it
now. You
know? But we are going to experience it in just a little bit. But before we experience it, I just want to take, since we're talking about the wave, etc., let's just take a moment and talk about the packages, and then we'll come back and we'll do the meditation. And then if we have time, we can maybe do one or two more questions. I saw some more questions pop into the chat. So let's just, I'm going to share my screen quickly. One second. Let me try to do this right. So you should be able to see my screen. Yeah, so Hope has three packages, A, B, and C. A is the digital copy of the Infinity Wave and the Original Practices for $50. Package B is a 30-minute personal dowsing session with Hope, like we just did now. You know, we did just short ones, right? Short questions, but you can go deeper and longer and et cetera with Hope in the package B. And then package C is everything in package A and package B. So, so we were just talking about the wave and how it works a little bit, right? But you, in this, you know, you're going to receive the book and the original practices. Do you want to talk a little bit about, are the practices a little bit about like the ones we talked about earlier, Hope, or?
Sure, different? Sure. Do you want to scroll down a little bit and take it in order, or are they on there or not?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if.
Yeah, that's
which
fine.
Which ones were supposed to be in here, so.
Oh, that's fine. The original practices take you through, as I said before, a step-by-step process of being able to shift yourself enough to evolve. So there is a practice that deals with your body. It's body awareness. There's a practice for unhooking from gravity and then unhooking from time. And there's a practice for connecting with the earth. It's called Swim in the Earth, which sounds a little weird, but it's wonderful. And you know, when these things were coming in, I had no idea. Like, words would be popping into my head, watch them, and then they come out of my mouth. And I'd be like, what? That? I don't even understand what's being said here. But it makes a lot of sense when you listen to them. The reason for the practices, then there are other practices. There's one towards the end that is a beautiful practice, and it's called your crystal columns. And it's a wonderful way to set yourself up for protection. If you are feeling like you're either in a big room or you're feeling unsafe, or You just want to have a little hidey hole for a while, you know, to get away from the world. It's a practice that takes a kind of crystalline membrane that flows all the way up so you can't see and all the way down into the earth. And within that crystalline membrane, there you are in the wave. But this was given to me by Yeshua himself. And it is, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love it. And it works. When I use it, I use it when I go to New York or, you know, big cities like that. And or gatherings where I may not know that feel very welcome. Let's put it that way. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. So I know that I'm in flow and I'm safe and I'm protected. It's not a rigid thing. It's a porous membrane. Anyway, you'll hear it. But it's very, very high frequency practice. And then there's a practice that is all about grace. And here's the thing. We don't change through our minds. We get ideas through our minds. We have things to chew on with our minds, but change happens with experience. Mm-hmm. And so everything I do is about offering experiences for people. It's kind of like a big poo-poo platter. Choose what you wish and what you're drawn to so that you too can have an experience, so that all of a sudden something that you've held in as an idea in one of those thought balloons, you can now say, yes, this is true for me. And that starts to shift the person. That starts to evolve us. And the other bubble, you know, balloons, you might say, oh, no, I don't need that one anymore, because now I have a truth here through my own experience. So all of these practices are meant to step by step in order and not gobbled. I had a host once who, in preparation for our interview, listened to all 9 practices in like a day. And by the time we got on the interview the next day, she was completely blown out. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
I said, you're not supposed to gobble them. You're supposed to, you know, sip them, let them settle in. You might want to repeat one, you know, and work your way slowly through the program. But anyway,
that's... So how many practices are there, Hope?
There are 9.
9, yeah. Okay, so I will put the descriptions after we finish here. I'll put the descriptions of the 9 practices on the page.
Okay.
Awesome. So, and there's some wonderful testimonials. So again, the package A is $50. There's no payment plan available for that one, but for the other two, there's definitely a payment plan. So package B is a 30-minute personal dowsing session with Hope. And is there anything else people need to know other than what we, you know, experienced already today in the call?
Not really. I recommend them to read about this, but it's what you saw today is just a little taste of it. We usually get to some very breakthrough ideas because my channel opens, they aren't my ideas. I go to the universe for my intel, mm-hmm. and it is the universe speaking through me. And sometimes there's a channeling in the session, if that's what's called for. I'll just feel something coming in and then they'll say it. And they don't mince words, I'll say that. I can soften things sometimes, but they're very direct because over there really isn't motion like we have. So if you want some truth and you want some direction, you're feeling confused about where you are and what to do next. And it could be something mundane, you know, like where you're going to live or should I take this job or not? Or it could be more esoteric in nature. We can usually get to, I don't think anybody's left unsatisfied. So we'll get to the bottom of it.
Awesome. So package B, the 30-minute personal dowsing session with Hope, is $100, and there is a payment plan available. And then package C is everything in package A and everything in package B for $135. And of course, like I said, there's a payment plan available. And if you're an Inner Circle member, please use your gift code as well. So here at the bottom, there's a summary of all 3 packages. So definitely take advantage if you can, package C, because then you get everything. You get the dowsing session, you get the digital copy of the book, you get the 9 practices as well. They're all audios. You get those 9 audios as well. and you can really start to make that transformation for yourself. So that's that. I put the link in the chat in case somebody wants to see the link, you know, on your own web browser or phone or et cetera, because sometimes it doesn't always work in here. I do want to do the meditation because I don't know how long it'll be. And then if we have time, we'll take a few more questions because there's some in the chat now. And they seem to be fairly quick, like, you know, yes or no types of things. So maybe we can do just a few more. Cause I think those are so fun. So watching you with the dowsing rod, it's like you can see it, right? You can see. It's like, oh my God, I got to get some dowsing rods. And it's like, that is so much fun. I just loved it. So, all right. So
Let me just say one thing about that is, you know, I also use pendulums, but mostly for clearing and healing. Mm-hmm. The great thing about rods is they're faster and they're more nuanced in terms of how they answer. And as everybody who does any kind of dowsing knows, it's all about the question and forming the question. But the dowsing rods, you know, they just came to 50% for the first lady, Linda, whoever it was, they came to 50%.
I think it was Sarah that came to 50%.
Yeah, Sarah. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. And so normally then when something comes to 50%, I'm going to go, okay, well, let's explore that. And, you know, we get percentages. We do on a graph of 1 to 10 or 0 to 100. You know, there's all kinds of ways to start narrowing things down.
Yeah, I love it. Good. Thank you. All right. So we're going to do a quick little process and my meditation so that we can experience the wave.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to turn my light off while I do this.
Sure.
Okay, so let's all take a nice deep breath, as we always do when we start a meditation. But in this case, I'd like you to imagine that you have a tube running from your crown down through your sacrum. And we're going to be breathing that tube. And we'll start at the heart center and we will take a deep breath and then exhale down through the tube. And the tube goes into the earth, runs down through the body and into the earth. And then we're going to breathe back into the heart center. What the earth has to offer you, whatever you imagine that to be. Continue to breathe in this way, deep breath down. And as you exhale, you're exhaling what you no longer need. You don't have to identify it. Just allow whatever is no longer serving you deep into the earth, where she can recycle it, turn it into something better. And inhaling into the heart center, that generosity, that love, that endless nurturing that the earth offers to us each and every moment, and that we forget about so easily. Let's just breathe like this into the earth and welcome her into our heart, remembering that she is us, we are her. Good. Now let's breathe from the heart center up through the tube. We're going to exhale up through the tube, up and out like a fountain, expanding out in all directions, inhaling back into the heart center, whatever you imagine that realm has for you. Could be light and love, could be guidance. Just continuing to exhale up and out, expanding your field with every breath. And inhaling that infinite source of connection to the divine, to the things we cannot see, but we know are there. Good. And now, breathing from above and below into the heart center and exhaling down and above. And this takes a little getting used to. As you do this, you begin to feel the two worlds, the two spiritual worlds of the earth and the cosmos blending within you, and you being the conduit for both of them. I believe this is our divine blueprint. And we are here to be in this intimate connection with both of them and acting on their behalf. Good. Now, imagine that floating in your heart center is a little infinity wave, a little figure eight of flowing water. And if you have a hard time imagining that, you can take your finger and just trace it in your heart center. Just take your finger and go around and around and let it loop in and out till you can let your imagination take over. And now what we're going to do is just observe this infinity wave. You can observe what color it came in as, what its orientation is. Is it upright, on its side? How fast the water is flowing? Just notice. And as you're noticing, you may also notice that your heart itself might feel a little flutter or softening or not. There are no shoulds here, just offering that as something to be aware of. And just letting that beautiful love and compassion wash through your heart. And as you breathe a little more deeply, we're going to invite this infinity wave to orient itself parallel to the floor with one loop facing one rib cage and the other loop facing the other rib cage. And the deepening breaths will begin to stretch this wave ever so slowly. Just a little tug. Stretch the wave with the breath. Now, as we do this, you might hit a place where your heart doesn't feel like stretching. If that's the case, there's nothing to do but invite the wave to turn up the water, turn up the flow, and let the wave do the work for you. We have heart walls. We have stuck places where we've been wounded. And we can talk about it all day long, but really, what it really needs is love and compassion. So let the wave provide the love and compassion and see if you can receive that. See if you can receive infinite compassion for your existence, for your incredible courage to say yes to this lifetime, to be here at this time. Compassion for the ways you have stood tall and the ways you have stumbled. Compassion for the losses, for the mistakes, and for the ways that you have cared so deeply for so many things. And breathing deeper, let's stretch the wave a little farther and see if we can receive the infinite love The infinite love that loves you, loves the way you love, the strength you have shown by loving regardless of the costs. Love for you saying yes. Love for you showing up time and time again as a light beam, as a love beam, as one who holds the torch high for others. Receive this infinite love just for you. And now that your heart is stretched wide, it's an interesting feeling of being vulnerable yet safe at the same time. And you may require or desire that the wave shrinks back down to a more comfortable place so that you can keep it in your heart now and going forward. Just come back to the room when you're ready.
Oh my goodness, definitely did not want to come back. Definitely did not want to open my eyes. Definitely did not want to turn the light on. Oh my goodness, thank you so much. That was wonderful. How's everybody doing? Gosh, I'm just like, I was so... just the starting off just with the breathing, that's just helped settle everything down in my being. And just, yeah, I'm speechless, which I'm usually not, but I'm a little speechless at the moment, so I'm still in the flow.
I know it changes us for sure.
It was beautiful. Cindy wrote in the chat, thank you so much for this beautiful process and information today. This sounds like an amazing program and modality. Would love to learn more. Awesome. Thank you, Cindy. Good. Thanks. So how's everybody else doing? Drink some water if you have anything to do, to drink. Oh. I can't talk. Oh, I can't see. My eyes don't want to be opening. Lori says massive yawning. Sandy says that was beautiful. Thank you. Elaine says, much gratitude. I felt elated, even though my physical heart hurt somewhat. Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. It's like some people might actually feel some pressure in their heart. That's okay. Yes. Sunita says, it is flowing in my body. Saw a lot. Good. Tanya says, I was yawning a lot. Yeah, I was yawning a lot too, actually, during the whole process as well. And the thing is, it's like with the heart or the chest being a little tender, right? That's normal. And Lori says, heart fluttered. Yeah, that's normal. Cause I think you talked about that, kind of fluttering in the heart, right?
Well, so, yeah, because the wave does affect our physical bodies, and we can use it as a healing tool. It takes, it's helpful with pain. So it helps with sleep. So there are a lot of ways that it does affect the heart, and I really recommend for anybody who did feel that tightness in the heart. It's just so normal. We just can't help it, you know, with everything we're bombarded with. It's good practice just to do it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day. Just put the wave in there and just let it run, you know, or in your yoga practice. The other thing about this is that there's a daily wave. And then there are these deep evolutionary practices. In the daily wave, you can be waving the checkout person. You can be waving the person in traffic ahead of you. You can, it's always a choice, instead of getting angry, to send a wave. Mm-hmm. Let the wave do the work. You know, I mean, I have so many stories, but, and I don't know if I have time to tell any, but it's such a better option.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's still people typing in the chat, you know, saying, Sarah says, I was yawning from the moment the call started, feeling joyous as I always am in water. Julianne says, I'm still floating. Sunita says, I saw really everything about water, the structure, the DNA. Linda says, I saw magenta, then blue as the color expanded.
Wow.
Finally turquoise.
Nice.
So nice. Very nice. Good. Awesome. I love it. And of course, because it's in the recording, you can do it again.
That's right.
Right. You can always do it again. All right. So if we have a few minutes, can we just do those few quick sure. little, because people, I promised. So I think I said I would. But don't add any more people. Okay. Don't add any more questions in the chat, please. Then we'll be here forever. And I can't even see, you know, it's like, I'm like, do I need my glasses all of a sudden? I don't know. So Tina Cooper was asking, will I be traveling this year and when?
Okay, so Tina, can I, may I, should I? Is it in Tina's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to do any traveling this year? A little bit. Let's find out, is it in Tina's highest physical good to travel? 50%. Is it in her highest mental good? 50%. Emotional good? 50%. Spiritual good? 50%. So it's in your highest good, 50%. So let me find out if that means, does that mean Tina should, it would be in her highest good to only travel once? Yes. Just to check, would it be in Tina's highest physical, mental, emotional, spiritual good to travel twice? No. So you can take one trip. And when would be the best time for Tina to travel? The most auspicious time for her to travel? Which month? February 2024, March, April, May, June, July. July. Take a trip in July. Okay?
Good. Awesome. So there's a question from Kathy in the chat. Is it for my best to end my current relationship with my partner? And so there's a three questions, so you can choose whichever one works. Have my partner and I fulfilled our karmic agreement to each other?
And I may ask, should I with Kathy? Okay. Is it in Kathy's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to end her romantic relationship with her current romantic partner? They're not wanting to answer. That usually means that the question is phrased incorrectly or they don't want you to know. So let's ask this. Does Kathy have a karmic tie of any kind with her current romantic relationship? Yes. Has Kathy fulfilled her that karmic tie? Has she come to the point where it's ready to move beyond that? They will not answer. Huh? Okay.
Okay. That happens.
That does happen, but there's usually a reason. Am I phrasing the question incorrectly? No. Is it because Kathy is not ready to hear the answer? Yes. That's interesting, Kathy. It might be because it's not time yet for you to know this answer. Yes. Would it be time for Kathy to know this answer anytime in the next 3 months? Yes. Okay. Like, could she ask this again in February? March. You can ask this question again in March. I don't know what's going to happen between now and then, but something significant that will let you know exactly. Okay, so that's what I'm hearing.
Okay. Wow, awesome. Thank you. So at least that gave her clarity to, you know, maybe something in March, right? Yeah, good. Yeah.
So that's awesome. That's a really good point, though. I mean, we think, oh, we're going to pick up our dowsing tools and we'll get an answer. Well, not always. Sometimes it's just we're not set up yet. So we don't know why all the time, but we kind of drill down and try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good. Awesome. Thank you, Kathy. All right. So last question from Aranima. Will I have a job and a partner? So she's looking for a job and I guess she's looking for a partner.
Okay, so here's the thing. We are not fortune tellers because future questions are fortune telling. So what I can do is ask if it's in, and the name again, please?
Aranima.
Aranima. Mm-hmm. M-A-S-H-A with Aranima. Okay. Is it in Aranima's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to find a love relationship in 2024? And the answer is no. That doesn't mean it might not happen, but if it's not in your highest good, and usually there's a reason for that. Let me ask the second question. Is it in Aranima's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to find some employment? Yes. So what I'm getting, Aranima, is that you first need to get the job figured out. Your job, whatever it is, may take you somewhere where you're not expecting. And so for you to be looking for a relationship at the same time that you're getting settled in your work life is going to be conflicting. It's going to draw your resources where you're going to need them for a new job of some sort. So if you just drop the requirement that you find a romantic partner in 2024, it would probably be better for you. And then you'll set the stage for somebody to come in next year or the year after. I don't know. We'd have to ask, but that's what I would focus on.
Yeah. Wow. Good. I love that. Thank you. Okay, guys, we can't keep asking questions. I already said no more questions, but I'm gonna take Pippa's question.
We could go on for hours.
I know. So we're just gonna take Pippa's last question because she didn't ask before, and I think I've missed her before in previous times. So last question from Pippa, and that's it. And she's asking, am I moving in the next month or two?
Can I mash it I with Pippa? Is it in Pippa's highest physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good to move within the next 2 months? Nope. How about the next 3 months? How about the next 4 months? So sometime in April, sometime in May. May. It looks like May.
Good. I just think it's wonderful that you can get that much clarity, you know?
And we can drill down to the day. I mean, you know, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I love that. And so quick. Yeah, good. So hopefully that helps, Pippa. And it's great for planning. It's great for, you know, what you want to create moving forward, what you want to experience, what you want to do. It's great to and then you'll start to actually have, I mean, if you do it, you know, regularly, consistently, you'll also start to get more trust in yourself too as you're getting
that's
answers.
It Shefali, that is, and I'm sorry, I should call you Alara.
No, Shefali, I'm back to Shefali.
That is really it starts to build this connection, this conversation, so that it become then it becomes it's just there all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to put it hours like in any relationship, but it's amazing. It's right there wanting to help us and guide us all the time. And not everybody goes to the universe. Some people go to their guide team. Some go to their higher self. Some go to their, you know, planet. I don't know. We all have different places where we are connected.
Yeah.
But it's really good to learn how to double check yourself, ask the question multiple ways, trying to, you know, make sure you're not assuming something, because that's
yeah, we do tend to assume quickly, right?
Yes.
So Lori's asking, where do we get rods? Oh my goodness, I'm sure you can get them on Amazon, but right, Hope?
And I would recommend copper rods. Mine aren't copper. Mine are, I won't tell you how I got them, but mine are metal. And, but they have them. And there's a sleeve here, you know, that spins so that your hand can't influence where they go.
Yeah.
But yeah, about a 9-inch copper rod is just a great, and not too thin, a nice, got a little heft to it, because you're going to want to go outside and you're going to want to rod, you're going to douse with the trees and the rocks. And if the wind blows too hard, the little thin ones will fly all over the place. So unless you're a seasoned dowser. So get some with a little heft and you'll just love them. Also, there are telescoping rods. And they look like those pens in the old days that would telescope like this. Mm-hmm. And they're great for travel. I need to get a pair.
Wonderful. Thank you. And somebody also typed in the chat, the American Society of Dowsers. You can get dowsing rods there, yes. Of course.
And yeah. I didn't discover them until I'd been dowsing for 20 years. I thought I was all by myself doing this little crazy thing called dowsing. And somebody said, well, have you been to the conference? I went, what? What conference? And I went and it was like Hogwarts. I was like, my people, this is wonderful.
Yeah. Jennifer says ASD has a fantastic conference every year. So yes, for sure. So some wonderful experiences with the rods. Yes. For some people, rods may not work, but a pendulum is better. Absolutely. So, you know, try it out.
Well, you find your tool. You find your tool.
And it's about finding the tool and then using the tool, right? So if you'd like to work with Hope with the dowsing, you can do that in package B or C. If you'd like to, you know, practice with the wave and use the wave and get all the practices and the book, use package A or C. So I think you'll have a lot of fun with both, either, you know, the wave and the practices, or the wave and the practices and the dowsing session with Hope. I mean, I'm like so impressed. That's like, yeah, so much fun, and I'm so impressed, and I'm so glad that we reconnected. Hope, this has been, it's been too long.
Me too, Shefali. I'm very happy to be in your presence again. And as a parting thing, I just want to say that, you know, I offer a lot of materials, you know, free stuff. So anyway, that's for anybody who wants to try and find me. But this has been an absolute delight. Your audience is wonderful. I love your questions. I love your presence. And it's just been a delight to be with you again.
Thank you. Me too. It's so much fun. And of course, you know, Hope has a free gift on the gifts page for those of you who are part of the community. So Please do check that out as well. It's the Earth Practices Guided Meditation plus some meditation music by Gary Malkin. So please do get those as well for yourself. But I would, you know, to be honest, I would highly recommend, you know, if you can't get package C, at least get package A. It's $50. You get the book, you get the 9 practices, you can start using them, you can start feeling and working with the wave on a regular basis, and start using the practices to have that transformation, right? And then, of course, if you can, you know, get the dowsing session, because sometimes we can't get the clarity on our own. And sometimes we just need a little extra support, right, to get the clarity so that we can move forward, right, in our lives and move with whatever it is that we want to do. So get package B for that, and or package C for $135 on a payment plan to get everything all at once. I would recommend that for sure, because I really like the simplicity of the wave and the effectiveness, because I know we didn't have time to really go into all the different stories of how the wave has worked with people and has helped people, but there are lots of testimonials on the page that you can look at as well. But it's easy, it's effective, it's a 10th dimensional frequency and modality, and it's for us to have more love and compassion for ourselves, and then of course for everyone else around us, the collective and the planet as well. So it's a wonderful, wonderful tool, wonderful resource, wonderful way of raising our vibration frequency on a regular basis, but also healing and clearing all those, you know, blocks and limiting beliefs that we are still holding on to. So that can really help all of us to go forward in 2024 so that we can have the, you know, it's a year of abundance, right? We've talked about. And so in order to have all the abundance that we desire and that we deserve, sometimes we need to clear out some of those blocks that are in the way of us receiving. So I do think that the wave can help you do that.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's my little spiel on that. So thank you so much, Hope. And thank you, everybody, for all your questions, your comments, your feedback. Yeah, this was brilliant. So thank you. And we'll have to have Hope back on again for sure.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you so much, everyone. Until next time, may you continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health. Sending you all so much love and blessings. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, everyone.